Thanks for staying tuned to the LU Radio News Hour here on CILU 102.7 FM. Before the break, you heard Wait Maybe Love and Floods and Fires by Craig Cardiff. Both of them are songs off of his most recent album, which is also called Floods and Fires. He has two concerts in town this weekend, one tomorrow at the Study and one coming up on Sunday at the Finlandia. And the Finlandia Club concert is a benefit for the local nonprofit called the Collateral Damage Project. And I have two volunteers from the Collateral Damage Project in the studio with me now to talk about a fundraising drive that they're working on this week. And my guests from the Collateral Damage Project are Matt Kirion and Kayla Gelman. So thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, so before anything else, let's talk about the Collateral Damage Project. What is it? How did it get started?
It was started by Thunder Bay resident Scott Chisholm. I believe it was started in 2009, and his primary motivation for starting the project was that he lost his father to suicide when he was in high school, I believe when he was 18. So his big thing was that he was also a paramedic and a firefighter, and he had seen other families go through the same thing on the job and basically saw how little there was in terms of resources for those families, and also saw other families going through the exact same emotions that he went through when it happened to him. So his idea was to start up a project to try and create a dialogue around suicide and get the resources and also training for people to recognize the risks and the warning signs of suicide, and then give them training about how to deal with that as well. And the first idea for the project was to create a book. Scott is also a photographer. So he wanted to create a book that showed the images, basically bringing people out of the darkness. We kind of tend to brush a lot of these topics under the rug, but I wanted to bring it to the forefront and show their images and tell their stories, because one of the things that we kind of feel at the project is that seeing people, seeing their faces and hearing their personal stories tends to be a lot more effective than just reeling off a bunch of statistics.
That's fair. So you have a more specific project you've been working on this week called the Dollar Lifesaver Challenge. What exactly is that?
Well, it was conceived by a couple of education students at Lakehead originally, Brittany Prout and Ginny Culver Antoniazzi. Again, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her last name. Sorry, Ginny, if you're listening. But basically what they thought, it would be a great idea to try and raise a dollar for each student at LU, and we sort of rounded that up to $8,000. And we've put on a few events, and I've been around to speak to a couple classes at Lakehead, and we've just tried to have a presence on campus. So that was the idea. One of the first events that we did was a Harlem Shake. I don't know if, Kayla, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. As everyone knows, the U2 phenomena right now is that Harlem Shake dance. And it was funny because Scott actually had a really good analogy about the Harlem Shake in, correspondence to the Collateral Damage Project, because in talking about suicide, because, you know, once you get one person doing the shake, right, then, of course, it's okay for others to come in. And that's kind of what we're trying to do with suicide prevention and mental illness, is talking about it. And hopefully the more that, you know, each one of us can, you know, come out and, you know, say it like it is and not brush it under the rug and not be ashamed about it or not try to hide it, I think, you know, we're moving forward to getting more and more and more of that discussion going.
And if I could just add to that, the analogy was almost perfect, because to start the video, we had me in tights and a fur coat and a lacy hat dancing on top of a rock. And if you think about it, it's sort of, you know, one person is able to show their vulnerability and kind of expose themselves in a totally different way here, if we're keeping the analogy, and then it makes other people more comfortable to do the same. So I really like the analogy, and we had a great time. We didn't get quite as many people out as we liked, but that's part of the thing. You know, there is a real stigma there, and part of it is breaking through it and doing these events, no matter how many people come.
Yeah, it's so true.
We did have a great time.
So as far as what you were saying about stigma, what exactly are you talking about there? What are you referring to? And how do you think that expresses itself, you know, in, like, lower turnout than you were expecting?
Well, it's just, you know, generally these topics aren't talked about that much. And it's especially one of the things that if you've ever heard, you know, whether it's in passing conversation or something like that, I know I've heard it several times, and I haven't really spoken up about it at the time, but I wish I would have now. If you hear somebody talking about somebody who's committed suicide, or died by suicide, as we usually say, the Collateral Damage Project, it's often, you know, they're sometimes referred to as selfish. You know, they've left a family behind. But that really doesn't take into account everything. It's a lot more complicated than that. So I think that just, that illustrates one of the negative attitudes that people have there. And also, you know, if in religion, suicide is generally considered to be a sin. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, obviously it's not a good thing to have happen, but it's more the result of a disease than it is the result of an internal flaw on the person. I think that is the root of the stigma, that people have that misconception that it's, you know, a personal weakness rather than it is a result of a disease.